And you can ask them, you know, what are the top three things that persuaded you to buy from us? Or what are the top three things that nearly put you off? Because when you find those out, it's exactly as you say, James, you just inject that back into your sales copy and it can have a really nice lift for you.
This is Superfast Business with James Schramko. James Schramko. Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schramko here. Welcome to superfastbusiness.com. And today we're talking about CRO. And don't worry if you're not sure what that means, because I'm going to ask our guests to explain that. Today we have two guests. We have Bradley Long and John Hutchison, who are the founders of Conversion Rate Academy, to talk about CRO. Welcome to the call, guys.
Hey, James. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, James.
Hey. So we're in different countries today. I'm in Australia. Whereabouts are you?
Well, I'm in Spain. This is Bradley.
And I'm in Brisbane.
Right. So all over the place. Tell me, what is CRO? Just explain this for our listener.
Okay. So CRO is fundamentally trying to improve the profit you make per visitor. So basically, for every website visitor you get, you're trying to squeeze every last juice of profit you can from every last drop of profit you can from them. So to do that, you need to split test. And basically, that means you need some software. So the software only does one thing, though, and that is run the split test for you. It doesn't tell you what to split test. So that's the hardest kind of problem that most e-commerce stores have. They struggle to come up with ideas, and after they've done all the obvious stuff that's kind of talked about in terms of best practice, that's where the ideas run dry. So, CRO is kind of two things. It's coming up with the ideas, and it's also using the split test software to prove your theory.
I love the concept, and we hear a lot about changing button colors and stuff, but the reality is a lot of people are so obsessed about traffic that only really the pros and the top end of town are doing this heavy conversion rate optimization. Now, what is really appealing to me, and the reason I wanted to talk to you, is that you have been working with very successful high-end e-commerce stores, and I imagine they've got a pretty comprehensive toolbox. But importantly, you will have learnt where to go straight for the best results and to get these double-digit improvements. So I'd love it if you can give us a few suggestions on some of the low-hanging fruit that people could go for, assuming that they've had a play around with their button colour. What are the bigger ones?
Yeah, for sure. So the most important concept to grasp here is that button color tests will only get you so far, and what really makes the difference and what these top end guys understand is that you need to find out what the specific issues are that your visitors are having with your website, because truthfully there's only two reasons why people aren't converting. It's either there's a usability problem with your website, so something's broken, or they don't understand something and they're confused, so they just end up leaving your site. Well, the second reason is that they have a sales objection, so they're not persuaded. They don't believe what you're claiming. They don't trust your product, or they don't trust your company. So you need to fix either of those two problems, so either a usability problem or a persuasion problem. And just to give you a quick example, we worked with a client that had a shipping costs calculator on their checkout page. So it wasn't until that point that anyone knew what they're in for in terms of shipping costs, right? So when we looked at the analytics, a lot of people were looping back from the cart page back to the product page trying to find that information, because they didn't want to make the commitment of clicking through to the checkout page, because, you know, that's kind of scary. It means getting a credit card out. So they were hunting around for this information. And we found that out by running a pop-up survey tool on the cart page, which basically told us what the issue was so that we could fix it.
Nice. So on a previous episode, I've had an interview with Greg Kassar, who did a lot of stuff with high-end e-commerce sites, and he was using a tool called OLARC. Have you got some specific tool recommendations for finding out some visitor intelligence so that you might be able to figure out what's missing or what sort of objections they have?
Yeah, absolutely. So my favorite one is Qualaroo. It's not the cheapest one out there, but it is the most usable because it allows you to control when the pop-up is triggered. So you don't necessarily want the pop-up to trigger unless it looks like someone's about to abandon your cart. So you can set it so that when someone moves towards the exit button, it triggers a survey. So that would definitely be my recommendation at the moment. That's my favorite, Qualaroo.
Beautiful. Okay, so let's say that I bought an e-commerce store tomorrow from one of the many students of Ezra Firestone's Brown Box Formula or something like that. I bought it and then I hit you up on Skype and I say, Bradley, John, could you please have a look at my site? What are you going to be scanning for? What are the big rocks that you know must be on every single e-commerce store to increase the conversions?
Yeah, sure. So I'm a really big fan of keeping things simple to get started with. So I like tests that are no-brainers. But there is a caveat to that. You don't want to just straight implement stuff. You definitely want to test it because, you know, this whole thing is about being scientific and knowing down to the penny what each change to your website is costing you or making you. So that's the beauty of testing. So some of the things I like to get started with, maybe doing like a strap line or a tagline under your logo, if you haven't got one. If you've already got one, playing around with it. Loads of business completely miss the mark when it comes to their USP and their strap line. They use like superlatives like biggest and best. And what they actually need to do is ask their existing customers why they chose them, because that can be massively revealing. Because we work with a site that sold a home improvement product, and their whole angle of entry into the market and their unique selling point was speed of delivery. When we actually surveyed their customers, no one mentioned that at all. They didn't care. They were buying the product for completely different reasons. And so it's a good idea just to run a survey and then inject what you find out into your strap line.
What a fantastic thing, and probably not an obvious one. I was out visiting a client today, a very rare client visit. I think it's the second time I've visited them in about 6 years. And they asked me about live chat because they'd seen that on my site. Do you think live chat's important?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not only a communication tool, but I actually look at it as a conversion tool, because if you're clever about it, you can set it so that it triggers a chat with your visitor at the point when they're most likely to bail from your website. So you go into your analytics and you look at your average time on page, and say, for example, it's 45 seconds. Well, you basically just trigger your push live chat setting so that it triggers at around 40 seconds so that you can try and capture that visitor before they're likely to bail. And what you'll actually find is even sometimes just the mere presence of live chat, even if people don't use it and interact with it, can increase conversions, because it's like a confidence thing that there's actually real people behind the website.
It's a trust builder.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we have ours integrated into the live chat across to the help desk, and it pushes a ticket into our help desk, and we found when we answer whatever the question was, almost always ends up in a sale. So I think it's a great conversion device. Tell me, what are some of the other things that you think should be baseline, like some of the low-hanging fruit?
Yeah, sure. So another big obvious one is like the headlines. That can have huge results for you, because it's kind of the message, the first part of the message anyone reads when they land on your page. And if you get that wrong, people probably aren't going to read the rest of your sales message. So there's a ton of stuff you can learn from kind of the offline direct response world, which has been going since the day dot, before the internet was even invented. These guys knew how to sell. They were split testing 100 years ago with their mailings. So they've tested stuff to destruction and they know what works. So basically, times change and people don't. So they're the masters of salesmanship in print, and we want to become the masters of digital salesmanship. So always test your headlines and make sure that it's got an emotional benefit in it and that it grabs people's attention and encourages them to read the next line and the next line of your sales copy.
That sounds like a Joe Sugarman technique. I was hanging out with him in Cabo last year.
Oh, yeah.
Actually. Very interesting chap.
Excellent.
So
he's a legend.
He is a legend. Now, you also mentioned to me at some point that you should have consistency throughout your site. I was wondering if you could explain that in more detail.
Yeah, so we've worked with a few sites where just simple things like the call to action button changes shape or color you know, as you proceed through the funnel. So on their product page, the add to cart button is, say, orange, for example, and then by the time you get to the checkout page where it says secure checkout, it's suddenly turned to green. Well, you really want to keep that consistent, because you want to train your visitors to look for that call to action. And if you suddenly change the color of it, they've got to work a bit harder. So it's just subtle little things like that that can make a difference sometimes.
Very nice. So you guys were actually practicing this stuff for agencies or as consultants, and then now you've founded your Conversion Rate Academy. What caused that change?
Yeah, basically, well, having worked with some of the heavy hitters in town, we kind of just felt that, like, the small to medium-sized businesses were kind of getting overlooked, because by nature, conversion rate optimization is fairly labor-intensive, and because of that, it makes the fees that experts and consultants charge quite hard going for a lot of the smaller businesses. So they're kind of priced out of the market. And the other thing is, there's a few fundamental problems that e-commerce stores are facing at the moment. Their margins are getting squeezed because, you know, the customers are wanting the sun, the moon, and the stars from them. They want free shipping. They want it the next day. They want the lowest prices. E-commerce stores are facing a lot more competition than ever as more and more people enter the market. And as you know, traffic's getting more and more expensive, and you need to squeeze every last drop of profit from each visitor you get to your website. So we just felt there was a huge need for giving these guys a level of help that doesn't necessarily mean high-end consultancy fees of sort of five figures a month. It's something that's much more affordable and that we could build a community around as well, so that people can start helping one another out.
So who's this designed for?
So basically, to split test and not lose patience with it, you're going to need a decent amount of traffic flowing to your site. So it really ideally needs to be sites that are getting around about 10,000 visitors a month. Otherwise, your tests are going to take forever to reach conclusion. I won't bore you with the maths of it, but they have to reach something called statistical significance.
I know that you need to have a certain number of volume, and it takes time. It could take some people years if they have very low volume.
Exactly.
So I'm interested in, like, do you have a little favorite set of warm-up tests that you do for people who you encounter for the first time? You say, all right, start with this.
Yeah, we kind of actually, one of the modules in our test is, we've kind of put together this 75 proven split testing ideas that we kind of hand to people when they join. So look, go and do some of this stuff because we know it works. But included in there is, you know, things like turning on the push live chat, the headline test, the call to action test, your strap line. So, you know, some of the obvious stuff, but then there's other things in there like that aren't necessarily things that you would think about straight off the bat, but that can add real value to your business, like implementing a refer a friend scheme, or you know, a loyalty scheme, things like that, so that they can, you know, add extra layers of profit that you probably just haven't got around to doing yet. And it's a good prompt for people. So we've kind of built out this list and given tons of examples so that people can just go to that module and just get started straight off the bat.
Now, I've just got a random question. Have you ever encountered tests that revolve around site speed?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big problem for a lot of people at the moment. You know, if you page is taking more than kind of like 5 seconds to load, you know, you could be losing a lot of in terms of conversion. So one of the elements in that module that I just talked about is running some tests on your site, like going to Pingdom, checking your load speed, and just fixing any errors in your code that are causing your page to load slowly. So that's not necessarily something around the split testing, but it's a kind of, you know, you've got to get this stuff fixed because it's a complete no-brainer.
Yeah, I was just going to add there, guys, that really, you know, one of the first things that we sort of educate people on doing is really to understand their sales process and mapping out their funnel throughout their site. You know, going from the landing page all the way through to order confirmation page, you know, and sort of highlighting where they should really focus their attention first, because there's no point just going out there and guessing and putting together split tests areas and going from there, you really do want to sort of grab the problem areas first and the areas that you can get big wins from quickly. So I think it may be important if Bradley could go through our simple five-step process as part of how we educate, you know, our students and our clients on how to implement things quickly so that they're not wasting their time and effort on things that take longer to produce the actual results.
Yeah, good point, John. So, yeah, like you said, one of the first steps is mapping out the conversion funnel, which really is just a case of just taking a quick dive into your analytics and seeing where your big drop-offs are, which basically highlights where you're leaking cash and where the opportunities are for split testing, because there's no point running a split test on your homepage if your biggest problem is on your add to cart page. So that exercise quickly laser focuses you in on what's going to get you the biggest of results most quickly. And then the second step is what we've already talked about, which is kind of gathering visitor intelligence, using pop-up surveys, surveying your email list, using tools like Crazy Egg for heat mapping and things like that, just to figure out what's going on in terms of user behavior and what your biggest usability problems are and what's dissuading people, so what your sales objections are. Then the third step is just sitting down, analyzing all the feedback you've got, and then brainstorming test ideas and coming up with hypotheses. And then crucially, the next step is scoring and ranking those ideas based on what we call testing magnitude. So there's no point steaming in for your first test and completely redesigning your entire checkout funnel, because A, it's going to be a massive time suck in terms of resources, and B, you might not want to be doing that as your first test. You want to kind of cherry pick the ideas that are going to get you a big bang for your buck, but not, like I say, be a huge time suck. So it's important to kind of sit down and balance out workload versus the predicted results. And then obviously the final step is just split testing them.
Exactly.
Perfect. So that's a really nice little outline.
I think the other important thing as well is, you know, once you've got that information, we've been lucky enough to work essentially across roughly 26 different industries and work with some of the big players and been able to capture the data, and we've come up with what we believe to be 75 proven split test ideas, which allow us to take proven different tests that we can plug in quite quickly. So Brad, maybe you can give some examples of, you know, some of the tests and the kind of results that we've been able to get.
Yeah, so just a quick example was we had a site that was selling spare parts for a home appliance store, and their conversion rate was pretty awful. It was less than 1%, but they're still doing a good amount of business per year because they're in quite a good niche. And they basically ran some Qualaroo surveys, and they found out that their biggest objections were people wanted their parts in a hurry because obviously like their machine had broken down or whatever. And so that was kind of like, when am I going to get my part, was a big question that came up. And the other thing was that they were really worried about ordering the wrong part because there was just like a million different choices because there were so many products that they were supplying parts for. So all we did was simply introduce bold guarantee, which is one of the ideas in our kind of 75 proven ideas, which is just coming up with a really strong guarantee to kind of overcome those objections. So once we knew what they were, all we did was introduce what we called get the right part first time and on time guarantee. And alongside that, we also highlighted the fact that most of their parts were available from stock and that it was same day shipping. So to kind of counter all those objections. And when we ran that test, the outcome was a 217% improvement in conversion. It's not to say that every test is going to get that kind of triple digit improvement, but the point being is, once you handle your objections head on, that is when you get the big results. And even if you're running a series of tests of, like, say, maybe a 20%, 30%, 40% improvement, the compound effect of those can end up just having a massive difference on your bottom line.
And everyone wants a difference on their bottom line.
Yeah, sure.
Now, have you found any markets that respond better than others, or is this market agnostic?
The B2B market can often be a little bit difficult. but we still get great results. And the trick is, like I say, you know, we harp on about this a lot, but it really is about finding out what your visitors think, because that's how you come up with the test ideas in the first place. So it becomes a no-brainer when you do that.
Aside from Qualaroo, what else can you do to find out? I know, for example, one of my products, I had a survey question upon purchase which said, why did you buy? And I used to put that back into my sales letter. Are there other techniques you could use?
Yeah, we use email surveys, so like something like Fluid surveys or Pop surveys, to just send out to your most recent customers is often a good kind of segment to email, because things are kind of fresh in their mind. So maybe you send out to your last couple of thousand customers, hoping to get back at least sort of 200, 250 responses to get a kind of meaningful data set. And you can ask them, you know, what are the top three things that persuaded you to buy from us? Or what are the top three things that nearly put you off? Because when you find those out, it's exactly as you say, James, you just inject that back into your sales copy, and it can have a really nice lift for you.
Very nice. Well, you guys have given us some great tips today. I'd love it. Tradition on this show is we usually finish with an action step that a listener could take as a result of listening to this to get a maximum return on investment. Obviously, if someone has an e-commerce store or any sort of website that sells something that's getting several thousand visitors a month, then they might want to go and check out your Conversion Rate Academy. So that's a given. That being the case, what's an action step our listener could take right now on their sales website that could get them a really good return on investment?
Sure. Well, the obvious thing to do is just start split testing, because you know, a big mistake is just not running tests, because you have to these days. To survive in the next few years, you're going to be having to run split tests. So the first thing I would do is just go out, sign up for a free trial on Qualaroo, and stick the survey on your cart page, your product page, and your checkout page, and on your thank you page as well. So on your thank you page, you can ask what persuaded you to buy, exactly as you said. And on the other pages, you can trigger it so that if they go to exit, you can ask them what stopped you from buying from us today. So you can start gathering data. And then whilst that's gathering, you can run a warm-up test. So go and do something like a headline test, a strapline test, some of those other easy tests we've talked about, just something simple that's not going to, you know, involve loads of development time or design time. And the beauty is with testing tools like Optimizely, for example, they've got what's called a WYSIWYG editor in them. So you can go in and make changes to your site within the WYSIWYG editor, set it live, and you never have to talk to a designer or a developer. The only thing you need to do is install a snippet of code to install the split testing software. So you can actually start testing with virtually zero technical skills. So the point is just go out there and do this stuff, because it works. And as soon as you start seeing results, it gets addictive. So yeah, just make a start.
Gets very addicted. I'd like just to add to that, James, is I believe one of the first things people should do is understand their sales or conversion funnel, and they can get a lot of insights, you know, from Google Analytics. And there's a free tool that you can sign up for, and the name escapes me. What's the name of that tool, Bradley?
Paddy Track,
yeah.
P-A-D-I Track, Paddy Track.
Yeah, and you can use that tool to at least get quick analytics to see where your visitors are dropping off. And from that information, you can look to maybe plug those holes quickly by using some of the things that Bradley's just shared.
Fantastic. Well, very generous, Bradley and John. Lovely to have you on the show. And I'm sure you're going to go really well with your Conversion Rate Academy, because you've got some serious experience there, and especially in the e-commerce market. So even the tips you've shared today for free will help a listener get a return on investment. And I'm sure that they know where to go and get some help if they need to take it to the next stage. So thanks so much for being on the show today.
Our pleasure. Thanks, James.
Been a pleasure. Thank you, James.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.